Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. On today's episode of Foresight Friday Roundup, we're going to be talking about digital health technology companies and why they're everyone's darlings right now. So today we're going to talk about venture capital funding of digital health technology companies, what digital health technologies are hot right now, and what all that means for the future direction of the healthcare system. And all in 20 minutes or less, am I right?
Right.
Why not?
Our resident experts on Foresight Friday Roundup to comment on these topics are Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Gary Bisbee, co-founder and executive chairman of the Health Management Academy. Dave, Gary, how are things going?
Hanging in there.
Happy Friday.
All right. Before we talk about digital health technologies, I wonder if either of you use a mobile health app or wear a digital health device. Dave, you have anything on your phone?
Well, I am totally addicted to the Apple Watch. You know, not only is it a Dick Tracy phone, because you can talk on it, it's got a whole wealth of health information. And it the addicting part is it's got these three activity rings that if I don't fill them up, I'm depressed. So somebody at Apple has figured me out anyway.
Gary, you wearing anything that monitors your health?
I'm like Dave. I've got my Apple Watch on, which I do like for a number of reasons. But in terms of the health app side, I'm a Peloton fan, so I have my Peloton app on that watch, which is useful. And I mean, it's pretty impressive. They can do a one lead EKG on these things, which I've played around with. So hopefully, I don't actually need to do that. But if I do, I'm ready to go.
And what's your VO2 max, Gary?
Well, I will say this. The VO2 max is related to age. And I started riding a bike seriously about 20 years ago. And over 20 years, I've seen it ease down. So that part I'll share with you.
Okay. You're still kicking the ass of 90% of Americans.
Well, myself included, because the only thing I have on my phone is a heart rate monitor, and it shows that I have a pulse. So I've got that going for me. All right. Let's talk about venture capital funding of digital health technology companies. Dave, what are you seeing in terms of digital health attracting venture capital? Is it going up or going down?
Well, just like Deep Throat said during Watergate, follow the money. Truer words have never been spoken. Startup Health and Rock Health were out with their reports on digital health venture investment, and they both indicate record levels of funding pouring into digital health during the first 6 months of the year. Startup Health's report looks at global investment that was up from $7.7 billion in the first 6 months of last year to $9.1 billion this year, 18% increase. Rock Health's report focuses on U.S. digital health. That's up from $4.2 billion to $5.4 billion. That's a 24% increase. So it's going up. And overall, the U.S. is roughly 60% of global venture investment in digital health. So dominant U.S. presence in the space. The pattern, though, is interesting. Out of the box like gangbusters in January, $2.2 billion globally. And then as COVID started to take hold, it dropped and hit a nadir of about $1 billion in April, but came back strong in May and June. China is an outlier. China, which has historically been second in the U.S. in digital investment or digital health investment, only had four deals totaling $249 million. Europe, by contrast, way up. Stockholm, London, Paris, Oxford, Berlin, over $800 million. And I'd say overall, from an implications standpoint, this train just ain't stopping. So expect continued robust investment in digital health. And that leads us to the big picture discussion of COVID-19, which really is a major societal inflection point. Work will never be the same. Power relationships are shifting. Industries are transforming. And just like exposure to a novel virus, healthcare is not immune. Given the predominance of U.S. activity in digital healthcare and the level of system dysfunction, status quo traditional healthcare delivery in the U.S. Is in for a revolution. Where have you heard that before?
Right. That's great, Dave. Thank you. Gary, same thing. What's the latest trend in VC money flowing to digital health?
Well, Dave covered that nicely. Let me back up a bit and set the foundation here. We can thank a lot of this digital health to the recession of 2008-2009, because it was the reaction to that that caused the Obama administration to allocate roughly $35 billion to digitize medical care and healthcare. And that took place during the decade of the 2010s. And now we're at the point where we've digitized it. How do we actually use it? And so that's a lot of what's underlying the current fascination with digital health by the venture community. Second point is there's just an incredible amount of money available these days, whether it's venture capital, private equity funding, startup growth companies, et cetera. So we've got a new opportunity, which is healthcare and medical care have been digitized. We've got a lot of money. And then as Dave outlined, we've got COVID, which has made it fundamentally obvious that we really don't have data that's going to help us figure out things like where is the surge, what's the reaction to it. The providers are scratching their heads relative to telemedicine. How do I get out on top of this? So COVID has dramatically, I think, made it clear to everybody outside healthcare that there's a lot of digital opportunity here. People in healthcare obviously have known it all along. So those are the three factors, I think, that are driving the interest in digital health investing.
Got it. Dave, anything to add to Gary's comments?
Gary, I really liked your point about the High Tech Act and the government-led investment in health records. And I think for the first period of time, the 10 to 15 years that we've been living with this, that Health Tech Act, that investment has benefited incumbents, health systems, insurance companies, big players, who continue largely to control data flow in the country. I think what makes this moment particularly interesting and I think good for the country is this whole concept of data liberation and being able to break the data out of silos and let it flow to where it can have the most impact. And that's fundamentally a threat to traditional ways of providing healthcare services, which is why I think we're seeing so much venture investment in digital innovation and healthcare. Companies are coming up with new models to provide the services better, faster, cheaper.
Got it. Thanks, Dave. That's a good segue into the second topic here, and that's what specific areas of digital health are getting all the attention. Gary, what types of digital health tech is hot right now and why?
Everybody's talking, of course, about telemedicine. We've seen major increases by virtually every provider, hospital, physician, et cetera, to some form of telemedicine, and the consumers have been in a forced use situation in the sense that they don't want to go visit because they're afraid of COVID. So they don't want to go visit in person because they're afraid of COVID. So telemedicine is the obvious alternative. They try it, they like it, or at least many of them do. So telemedicine is probably number one on the list. The question from the venture community is, how do they pick out the really novel and interesting approaches, or approaches that lead to efficiencies? Because there's going to be a lot of, there's some wheat there, there's going to be a lot of chaff there. Secondly, I think, is personalized medicine. Anything that relates to a more personalized decision making on the part of the provider, more control on the part of the consumer, that's a particularly fruitful area for the venture community. We have anything involving consumer influence over decision making is going to be or is a big one. We have the whole affordability issue, which I think is the fundamentally the issue of this decade, because a lot of what we're doing to digitize medicine is leading to even more expense. And then we have employers' interest in trying to control costs. So, you know, there's a variety of other topics that will be funded, but my way of thinking, those are the five most important issues that are going to drive longer-term venture capital.
Got it. Thanks, Gary. Dave, what's your read on where the funding is going, and what does it say about the jobs to be done in healthcare, and where the industry is going in the future?
I wanted to echo Gary's comment on consumerism. Where you look, if you look at where most of the investment is going, it's going into kind of mHealth apps, which ultimately are giving consumers more voice in their care. I'm of the opinion that the next generation of health companies, not just health care companies, are going to be Amazon-like platforms that assemble capabilities built around specifically consumers' jobs to be done in healthcare, fix me when I'm broken, sustain my health, and enhance my health. Those are the three jobs to be done in healthcare. And I just remember being struck during the big health conference last October in Vegas at the number of millennial-founded companies that were focusing on a specific aspect of healthcare, sexually transmitted disease, women's health, reproductive health, that kind of thing. And those platforms had no facilities. They were 24/7 access through apps. And then if you needed consultation, you'd went to email exchange or video conference or something like that. And I just think healthcare is going to move very quickly in that direction. And we'll start with these more obscure areas of healthcare, but we'll move into the mainstream. In fact, Oliver Wyman has a report out sort of speculating on a facility-free healthcare environment in the not too distant future. And obviously that's provocative, but that's what digital capability potentially use. And Gary used the term telemedicine, as did you, Dave. We used to have a term called telebanking, you know, back in the late 80s and early 90s, which has disappeared.
Yep.
And now it's just banking. And when was the last time either of you went into a bank branch, right? So I think we're going to see the same type of technological revolution inside of healthcare, and it will become, as Gary mentioned quite eloquently, much more consumer directed, which means the industry really has to, you know, develop some retail chops in order to connect with customers, understand what they want, and meet their service needs.
Got it. Thanks, Dave. Gary, are we going facility free anytime soon?
Well, I mean, I subscribe totally to what Dave said, and his tie back to the whole telebanking thing is a really good point. Dave, being in that industry, and I was too, many ways is a leader, isn't it, Dave? Because the real collection of data, processing data analytics, all of that took place in banking, in a financial services industry, well before it got to healthcare. So good model there. But Dave, to your question, obviously people would prefer convenience. Going to facilities isn't always convenient. And with COVID, it may even be dangerous. It's perceived as dangerous. So all of this, I think, will drive a new order in healthcare over this decade. And I'm sure the providers, if you talk to the CEOs of the large systems, which I do regularly, they're all thinking that they want to move away from facilities, using the facility as a hub, but have a variety of services that don't require facilities to deliver. So we'll be talking about that, I'm sure, going forward here.
Great. Thanks, Gary. Dave, any reaction to that? That's a pretty provocative portrayal of the future.
Yeah, I think there's a new world order coming.
All right. Great. All right. Let's talk about next week. Gary, what are healthcare tongues going to be wagging about next week?
I think we're still in the whole surge and coronavirus. I haven't heard a lot about vaccines recently, so I think that the population is probably beginning to weary of that. For a while, there was hope that we'd have a vaccine this year on the market, et cetera. And we might have a vaccine approved this year, but it certainly is not going to be available until well into next year. So I think people are just looking at Florida, looking at Texas, looking at Arizona, looking at Georgia, and saying this isn't going to be over anytime soon. And so how they're reacting to that is probably going to be the story. And I think, Dave, at some point we need to grapple with the November election, because COVID is just really changing the way I think the voting will go in November.
Got it. Dave, what are all of us healthcare wonks going to be talking about next week?
Well, Gary did mention vaccines. There was actually a couple of positive reports out this week on both the Moderna vaccine and the one out of Oxford, which makes me think a vaccine is possible. But I think, you know, it's not going to be this year. It's still very early stage. The truly scary thing, it wasn't that long ago, a month ago, that daily new cases were in the 20,000 range. And yesterday we hit a new record at 75,000. We appear to be in some markets dangerously close to being out of control and being forced back into full lockdown. So I think we're going to, as that realization dawns on more and more people, we're going to be having this conversation, societal conversation about individual liberty versus overall community health. And I think that's going to get pretty intense.
Got it. Well, thanks, Dave. And thanks, Gary. Like we said last week, keep wearing those masks, right?
That's right. Keep wearing them.
Everywhere and anywhere.
All right. That's all the time we have for today. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. Thanks again for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.